All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Hour number two, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Justin Miller, Sports Director, KASI, momentarily. David Eicholt on Iowa, all the Iowa topics that are burning out there. You know what I want to hear from on the whole Caden Proctor thing? I meant to bring this up yesterday. Who's the one person you want? Well, not maybe the one. Who would you like to know what he's thinking?
Kirk Ferentz.
Well, that one's two. We will hear from that. Tristan Wirfs. Because didn't Proctor, wasn't it?
That was his favorite player.
That's my idol.
Wear 74.
Yes.
Well, I think Wirfs thinks like most people.
Absolutely. He's a punk. Yeah. I'd love to hear from Wirfs what he has to say. But we will hear from David Eicholt on the Hawks coming up here 12:25. Let's get Justin Miller in here, shall we? Back to Omaha we shall go. Of course, Justin Miller produces the KXNO highly acclaimed Morning Rush and also sports director at KASI, 1430 on the AM dial. He's representing both stations over in Omaha. Hello, Justin Miller. How are you?
I am living the dream. This is amazing. I don't think I've stopped smiling. So this is amazing.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever seen you without a smile on your face. To be honest with the audience,
one of the happiest guys. He
really is.
Every single time.
It really is, and it rubs off on people. So keep doing what you're doing. Anyways, you listened to the press conferences yesterday, Justin. You've heard TJ dozens of times. I thought he was phenomenal yesterday. I really did. The answers weren't short. Obviously, didn't know which questions were coming his way. Sure, it was a comfortable surrounding with, you know, media that he knew from his time over when he was the head coach at South Dakota State. I was really impressed with TJ Otzelberger yesterday and his answers to the questions. And they went the distance, right? I mean, they had to, okay, enough. We're out of time here. The media wasn't done, but TJ did a wonderful job, I thought. How about you?
Oh, yeah, you nailed it. With him being in that comfortable environment, he just had a pep to his step. I thought it was cool seeing him interact with some former reporters he had some good rapport with, you know, back in the day. And it was cool to see, you know, TJ comes off as this tough, gruff coach who kind of just is one game at a time, you know.
We're kind of a drill sergeant look to him, right? Kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And so it was cool to see him kind of smile and give some crap to some of the reporters, because one of the guys said, hey, what was your first thought on getting this draw with South Dakota State? Were you excited to see this team, or right away were you going, man, I'm going to have to answer so many questions about my time with South Dakota State? And he kind of said, well, I don't remember the reporter's name, but he was like, well, I knew for
sure. I think
sure
it's Zim. To
yeah, he was like, I knew for sure I was going to have to answer questions from you.
Yeah,
were kind of teasing each other, so it was cool to see him kind of step out of that comfort zone and just have some fun with the reporters.
A big victory, obviously, down there against Houston. I think a lot of people believe that it was going to lead to better seating there. The takeaway after talking to the guys, I'm sure there had to be some disappointment inside the locker room. You're excited winning a title and going down to Kansas City and doing your thing for the fifth time in the last 10 years. However, you look at the bracket of death and being there, well, you got to keep winning in order to advance. We get that. But any talk about the seeding and the way that played out as the number 8 overall seed?
Not from the players. I mean, Otzelberger rubs off on these players. You try to pull stuff like that from them, and right away they're all about, you know, we're going to focus on who we have to play. We know we can compete with the best of them. A reporter asked Robert Jones, you know, hey, you guys are kind of under the radar. And it's wild to say that with them winning the Big 12, are kind of under the radar with how tough that East bracket is. And Robert Jones right away was like, we love that. We love being the underdog. We know we can compete with the UConns of the world. We know we can compete with the Houstons of the world. We are one of the better teams. We believe that, and we're just ready to show the world what we are made of. So, I mean, it was cool to hear the players kind of take after their head coach about, we don't care where you put us because we're going to be ready to play our hardest wherever we're at.
Who was the South Dakota State player that TJ recruited? Was it Mayo?
I think so. I think that's the player.
Or Mims.
Well, definitely Mims.
Mims, right?
Mims. Yeah. Yes, Mims. Mayo's the one I have written down as the player to watch out for.
Yeah, he is the guy, yes.
Yeah, Mayo averaging like 18.5 points, a little over that, 4 assists per game, 6 rebounds per game. I mean, 4 out of the 5 starters are averaging 11-plus points and 4-plus rebounds. So offensively, this Jackrabbit team is pretty fun to watch.
Get up and down the floor. They're going to shoot a bunch of three-pointers. One of the best efficiency field goal shooting teams in all the country this season is South Dakota State. Now, stylistically, how about you talk about that pace playing at that? After playing 3 games in a row, little tired legs, you play on Thursday as opposed to Friday. What they've been doing? Was it get their feet up? Was it just away we go again, right back to the practice floor, just trying to get their feet back underneath them after Kansas City?
For Iowa State, you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team during the opening shoot-around in front of the smaller crowd, but
yeah,
in the front of the open shoot-around, they had smiles on their face. They don't look tired. They don't look fatigued. They just look excited to be there. You had Taman Lipsy kind of dancing around the layup line. They seem to be all in good spirits, so I'm not worried about any sort of fatigue. When you play defense as hard as they have all season long, I think they're just built different.
No, there's no doubt about it. That's an absolute calling card. You know what struck me was TJ. Somebody asked him. Apparently, TJ didn't have the focus on defense that he does at Iowa State, and he was asked the question. Well, I mean, obviously they had Mike Daum, right? One of the best offensive players in the country. So he wasn't going to try and limit him on the offensive end of the floor. But TJ really adjusted from when he left South Dakota State and particularly when he came back here. He was, you know, the Jackrabbits got up and down the floor, scored a bunch of points, and now it's completely the opposite where, you know, if you don't do your business under your own basket, you're not going to get a chance to be on the floor to show us what you can do offensively. He's really changed.
I think you have to adapt. No disrespect to the Summit League. As a Drake Bulldog fan, I know how hard those mid-major conferences can be. But when you get put into the Big 12, that is a totally different element. And you have to focus on how can you slow down teams that you're going to play a ranked team almost every day in the conference season. So I think, yeah, he adjusted greatly to where his situation was at, opposed to being in the Summit League.
We'll jump over to the nightcap tonight. It'll be Washington State against your Drake Bulldogs, your alma mater. Mm-hmm. So with that one, it's different than what you do on your day job, obviously covering Iowa State and what you do up in Ames with KSI. So it's a little bit different.
Gets
field
to be
there.
A fan.
Yeah. I mean, what's the game plan there? You can't be cheering in media row. None of that. So you can't be doing that. It's got to be through gritted teeth. What's your game plan once we get through the Iowa State game and get to see your doggies?
Yeah, I may be having to, like, bite my hand a little. I may be having to nudge Sean next to me, like, oh, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Like, yeah, it's gonna be hard not to cheer on my Drake Bulldogs on Media Row. I think I'll be able to. I mean, it's March; everyone has to adapt. I'll be able to adapt and persevere for my Drake team. But I think that one's gonna be fun. I feel nervous how everyone's picking Drake to just kind of walk into the second round and face Iowa State. Washington State has beat Arizona twice. They're tall. They're lengthy. Mm-hmm. They're physical. The physicality scares me a little because we've seen Brody from time to time when he gets pushed around in that paint, he kind of gets in his head. He's done better this year than the previous years, but it still shows up from time to time. So I think the physicality is going to be huge if Drake wants to come out of that first round.
I wonder how much DeVries is relying on Rosario for kind of a scouting report since that's where he was.
It was cool. I was standing next to Brian Harden, and he ran over because some of the Washington State coaches had made their way out onto the court, and he ran over right away and gave the coaches a big hug, and they were chatting for a while. So I think there's still some good communication and good respect between player and coach there, but I bet you DeVries is asking for some secrets.
Sure, absolutely is. Good stuff, Justin Miller. You will be there for KSI through the Iowa State run, and if there's another weekend ahead, on a burden off to Boston, you lucky duck.
Hopefully. I've always been told Boston's beautiful, so, I mean, if they are able to make it to the Sweet 16, I would love it. It's a win-win for me, though, selfishly. If Iowa State and Drake play on Saturday, it's a win-win for Justin.
Yes, indeed it is. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you popping on. Thanks, Justin Miller.
Anytime. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Justin Miller, KSI Sport Director, of course, the produces the Morning Rush here. So, South Dakota State fans arriving today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, three of the four teams we're going to watch closely tonight. Mm-hmm. Wazoo fans, do they travel?
You wouldn't think so. I mean, that's not exactly an easy one
Spokane.
To make your way to.
Yeah. You're flying in and out of Spokane.
It's a long drive.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be many people making that drive.
I don't either.
But this is their last year in a power conference. I mean, mm-hmm. what's their future look like? They'll be playing hoops in the WCC.
Yeah, Gonzaga. Is that where they're playing? I didn't know that.
I think so. Or was it a Mountain West?
I don't know. No Mountain West.
Now that I say it out loud, I'm questioning myself on that front. I thought there was some kind of scheduling alliance with the WCC, but that Mountain West, whatever it is, it's different. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different for them going forward. Ready for this?
Mm.
Got an update for you.
Good one or a bad one?
Stop the count. Stop the
Michigan
count.
State's clubbing
Stop
them?
The count. No, Iowa is leading the team race in the NCAA wrestling tournament.
Are they?
Through the first three weight classes with 6.5 points.
When does Penn State start?
They got another guy out on the mat right now who is up by 9. So
enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, it's not going to last long, is it?
Yeah, no kidding. It's like grab 3 games into the season if your team's in first place.
Yes. Speaking of that, did you see that Circa put out some numbers for NCAA
wrestling? Yeah, I did. I saw that you retweeted it.
Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see if they're going to be able to lay anything, you know, once we get through today's action, the first round and the second round, if they're going to lay anything more. But it was the right idea. Penn State is such an overwhelming mm-hmm. favorite. There's not a number that you can lay. They're going to get anything on the no side mm-hmm. of the winning national championship.
Right,
so
right.
Instead of doing that, they just took the next tier of teams, Iowa, Iowa State, Michigan, NC State, Cornell, a few other ones in there. Basically, who's going to finish second? I thought that was the right way to do it.
I do too, but can you think of another sport where that would come into play? Because UConn women always had Tennessee.
They did, yeah. I mean, there were a few years, but nothing like that.
Nothing like
and
that.
And even like that, that's a one-and-done scenario. The way that wrestling is built, you know, maybe swimming. Could be a sport like the team competition.
Like
team
Stanford, the women were so good.
Yeah.
What's the gal's name that dominated for the Americans? I mean, she won every gold medal.
Yeah.
God. I mean, just recently.
A sport like that, maybe gymnastics, if they're, I don't know if LSU as a team is that far and away with Livy Dunn, but mm-hmm. something like that. But the sport is just built differently. Game with the ball, you're not going to do that.
No.
Even if there's an overwhelming favorite.
Right.
It doesn't matter the level.
You're not taking Tiger off the board in a major or any tournament.
It would hurt also the betting handle, too.
Sure it would.
This one probably increased the betting handle, mm-hmm. saying, now let's get Penn State out of there. Mm-hmm. Pretty good idea by Circa.
Well, it just goes to show you, though, I mean, when Vegas is doing that, they realize their utter dominance
yes.
in a sport, which doesn't happen very often. All right, iColt is coming up. Before we get an hour and 20 minutes into the show, and we have a Hawkeye in the transfer portal for basketball. And,
oh, yeah.
Not surprised, right, Bowen?
No.
Gone. I mean,
we can see this one coming.
Is there anyone else? I won't ask Eichel. He covers the team. It's unfair. I'll ask mm-hmm. you. It's we're different.
I can't think of anybody offhand that mm-hmm. would make sense. Were you thinking of somebody?
No, I'm not. I mean, I hope Dembali stays. I believe he will.
Yeah.
I know Freeman's going to have opportunities to go.
Right.
You would think.
There's going to be... There would be bigger paydays out there.
That's what I'm referring to. And I'm not talking about the seniors, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, Perkins can go. McCaffrey can go. We know Cricky is. No, I don't think there is. I think Bowen was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Should he have waited? I mean, what's the benefit of putting his name in now?
Just to see who likes him. I mean, start that process.
You don't think he could have waited a week for this?
No. Because everybody else is doing it now, too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt the team. He was on the bench. He's injured, too.
Oh, he is injured? I didn't realize
that. Yeah, he's been out for the last 3 weeks with an injury.
I just thought he wasn't playing.
No. It's been...
Okay.
Yeah, they announced a knee injury to him. I think it was 3 weeks ago.
It makes perfect sense now. I didn't realize it was done.
And I'm going to guess there's going to be teams that have questions about that injury. Yeah. So you just get the process started.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought he was just on the bench because he's, lost his minutes.
Yep. No, he was in street clothes and he was there even in the game earlier this week. So now you wonder, will he make the trip out to Utah?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No. Do you want him on the plane?
Right.
You're not a Hawkeye?
Nope. You're out mm-hmm. and you're not going to be traveling anymore. Mm-hmm. On that front, he might be one of my most disappointing Hawkeyes of the Fran McCaffrey era.
You had very high hopes for him.
he was a guy that Fran identified early. We know Fran's very good at that. Mm-hmm. There's been plenty of guys that have he identified early, and then the blue bloods started to come along, or even, not even blue bloods, but kind of a higher tier basketball program, and they get swept away. Identified early, had some good offers, a top 100 kid, a point guard, the kind of point guard that Iowa just hasn't had, much different than a Gasell, than a Bohannon, and it just didn't work.
Why flashes.
He was too much of a knucklehead with the ball. I got caught in the air too many times, just bad decision making. You can't be a point guard doing that for Fran. No. We've seen that.
Yeah.
You have to make good decisions with the basketball. And if you're not, you're not going to play. We saw it this year. I thought they should have given more playing time. Ultimately, could it have been different? Probably not. I think there were too many deficiencies in the style that Fran wants to play. Tony Perkins played really well. He's banged up, I think, right now, but he played well for a long stretch this season at the point guard spot. Give credit to him. We'll see. I mean, you think what? Smaller conference out back home in the Northeast, something like that. You see him go to, I don't know, Boston U, Northeastern, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that would make sense. And I think he'd be a really good player in one of those leagues.
It's just past 20 minutes after noon. We will take a timeout, come back. David Eicholt will join us. Hawkeye Conversation with Eicholt next. Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. That's somebody died.
No. This is Little Dirk. This is the hippest guest I believe that we have.
We got Little Dirk?
No, we got David Eicholt. Or at least he thinks he's the coolest dude. Self-proclaimed coolest guest on Miller and Condon, David Eicholt.
Hello, David Eicholt. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
Doing okay.
A great introduction.
Yeah. It's funny. Anyways, 12:30, welcome back to Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. As you're aware, David Eicholt joins the program.
So we find out Kent Miller is not a fan of Little Dirk.
I've never heard of Little Dirk.
Oh, he's good.
Barely.
Him and J. Cole, absolutely.
All right. Did you buy the 45s? Do they still make 45s?
I don't know.
I doubt if they do. You ever heard of a 45, David Eicholt?
I've heard of Edward Forty Hands.
Yeah, no,
that's about it.
Different deal. Anyways, I'm showing my age, and that's okay because I'm proud of it. Let's move on. Let's talk Hawkeye topics. Obviously, the big story that reverberated yesterday was the Caden Proctor news and all the tentacles surrounding it. Do you think it was based solely on him getting back together with some of his offensive linemen at Alabama on spring break? Was this kind of in the works before that, or was this solely based on, you know, getting back with some of his buds and realizing maybe how much he missed them? I don't know. When do you think that this whole thing started, David?
Yeah, so, I mean, this has been a crazy saga to follow over the past 24, 48 hours because this did not, you know, come on my radar until the morning of when, you know, Scott Dockerman, I think, report it first. I was basically right there with him on it, but this was something that I think they've been brewing for maybe 2 weeks more than anything else. I think Caden realized that the scenery at Alabama and a simple change of scenery wasn't what he was looking for. I think when he went on the spring break trip with the former Alabama teammates, I think that may have been the final straw that kind of pushed him to go back to Alabama. But just a really weird, really strange saga. You know, he'd been working out with the team, I believe, during winter workouts. He announced his intent to transfer the day before spring ball. So, you know, if there's any positive for Iowa, it's the fact that he did not go through spring training because this means that he's not eating up valuable reps for players who are actually going to play for Iowa this season. And, you know, Iowa probably would have had to shuffle their offensive line to accommodate Proctor. You know, Mason Richmond flips over the other side. You know, who knows what happens with Jangs Dunker if they move him inside or if they kept him at right tackle. Maybe they move Mason Richmond inside. So just a very strange all-around saga and a flat-out bombshell, to be honest with you, with the way college football is heading. Because let me put it this way, there are only rumblings right now, but there might be more players that transferred from Alabama that might go back already along with Proctor. So, I mean, this is going to be the new norm of college football. There are no guardrails. And, you know, the one person I feel bad for in this situation, it's Brad Heinrich.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you talk about the NIL aspect of this. Mm-hmm. He's had to kind of overly explain that the donations that Iowa got, the big surge in donations, they did not go in Proctor's pocket. Mm-hmm. Not one dime of it did, according to Brad. But, you know, for people who are still learning about donating to collectives, learning about NIL, why would they want to give their money back when they think guys who are never going to suit up end up pocketing the money? Mm-hmm. So a crazy saga that I do think is going to have a ripple effect, not just through the University of Iowa, but throughout college football.
And there's more layers to the story, and I know you're working on that, and you'll have a piece. You mentioned hopefully next week, in the middle of the week, on a lot more of the layers to this story, but there's a lot here. It's odd. Impactful on the field, too. And you talked about that shuffling. You go from feeling you're really solidified at the offensive line position. You know your left tackle. Mm-hmm. I know they're excited about Logan Jones for another year. Is it Richmond at right tackle or Dunker? You can figure that out. Well, the shuffling continues. I guess maybe it's good news that Nick DeYoung, which we kind of rolled our eyes when he said he was coming back, they need a little bit of depth there on that offensive line.
They do, and I'm curious how they're going to attack the NCAA transfer portal. But right now, Iowa's still at a scholarship crunch. But another guy I will throw in, I don't think people should forget about, what about Tyler Ellsbury?
Yes.
I thought Ellsbury was fantastic in his limited reps at center when Logan was going through, battling through injury. And, you know, to be fair to Mason Richmond, I don't think he had the best year last year, but he never made excuses, and he did play injured all of last season. So I think health on the offensive line is going to be key. This is going to be a very veteran group. The excuses are kind of out at this point. Like, they have to produce on the offensive line this year. And I also think it's going to be up to Kirk Ferentz and Tim Lester to be able to do that. But just a very strange dynamic how everything unfolded. I mean, I think J.C. Latham, the Alabama offensive lineman, was asked about Proctor, and he kind of alluded to the fact that, well, maybe the grass isn't greener on the other side. And that's what he told Alabama media. I don't know if Proctor knew what color the grass was, considering he never took a practice rep.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I think that's worth, that's the crazy part about this. I saw some people blaming George Barnett. I saw people blaming, you know, Kirk Ferentz. You know, there might be some truth to some of those elements. I'm still working out, again, all the details from every angle possible. But they don't get a lot of face time with these players in those winter programs. It's strength and conditioning. It's not like they're meeting with their position coaches every single day at this point. So I think it's important for people to remember that as well.
You know, back to Heinrich and the collectives for just a second. Do you think that this will lead to, you know, them tightening things up? And if there was a loophole, somebody said this, well, you know, Western Bama Bob texted me this yesterday. He said that Caden Proctor may become famous in a similar fashion to Tommy John, right? Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
Caden Proctor will be the poster child for the way we do NIL and kind of close some loopholes. I mean, maybe.
And O'Bannon, the way that he has changed the course.
O'Bannon, another one, yes.
I mean, we're going back 15 years when that first started. I don't think it's crazy. David, how about you?
I think there's a couple layers to this. I think the overall general statement is true, but let's clear up a couple things right now. One, I don't have the exact specifics about what Proctor's NIL deal looked like. I'm going solely based off Brad. Mm-hmm. But again, the people who donated the collectives, Caden Proctor did not see a dime from that department, okay? You know, if he had played this season, you know, played well, I'm sure, you know, based on the wording of everything and how Brad will work it out, he would have gotten some of that money, right? But Caden had only been paid from the separate entity, which is like the corporate sponsorship side, which is a completely separate account and way of going about things than the donations. And Proctor shot a couple commercials, so obviously he did get a little bit on that front. So I think that's important too. Brad runs an actuary company in Florida. So if there's anybody you trust with numbers and trying to manage those loopholes, I think Brad's probably the number one guy at that. Let's get that clear as well. But number three, and this is something that I have confirmed independently. I mean, Iowa's NIL, as far as the actual dollar value that Proctor could have gotten, it's higher at Iowa than it is at Alabama.
Really?
So there are still a lot of layers to this story that I'm still trying to piece together, but I do know that for a fact that if Proctor had stayed at Iowa, his earning potential would have been higher at this point than if he was at Alabama.
All right, let's get into little hoops with you, David Eicholt. A lot of great information on the Hawkeye front. Let's jump first into the women. They await the winner of UT Martin Holy Cross. I see South Carolina's favored by 53 in their matchup against the 16 play-in game winner. I don't think the Iowa number is going to be that high, but it's going to be high there. but the final two opportunity to see Caitlin Clark inside of Carver Hawkeye Arena. What are you expecting in the game on Saturday? We know Monday they'll get either Princeton or the matchup against West Virginia, whoever wins that one. Is it just going to be kind of a goof-off fest here, a domination, a smiles all over the place? What do you think we'll see Saturday?
I think it'll be smiles all over the place from the fans. I mean, I think Iowa's going to be locked in. Mm-hmm. I think you need to think back to the title run that they had last year. You got to think back to Iowa knows what it's like to lose on their home court in this situation when they got upset by Creighton. You think Caitlin Clark and them don't remember that? They are going to be – I think we're going to see a completely different Caitlin Clark this tournament run than we have in any other tournament run that she's been on. I think she's going to be locked in. I think she's going to get an easy 30 to 35 points in that game. But I also think her number one goal in this entire situation is going to be get Gabby Marshall – open threes, keep Sita Falter confident, and get Addison O'Grady to play the best basketball of her career. Because Iowa's going to need a dominant post. And I'm not saying Hannah Stolke has not been that, but you are going to need a 6'4", 6'5" girl that can really hang in the post, run the floor on offense, back to basket, be straight up on defense, run the pick and roll, do different things like that. So I think you're going to see Caitlin do what she wants, but more importantly, trusting and putting confidence in her teammates, because as great as Caitlin is, I will not be surprised if she averages 40, however far Iowa goes, or I really won't, because I think she knows it's all on the line. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she knows Iowa cannot win the national title without Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall. And you know what? If Molly Davis can't go, I'm going to throw in Taylor McCabe, because I think Taylor McCabe is one of the best shooters in the country. I just don't think she's been given the volume at this point. I think she's going to put the Big Ten on blast next year. But you talk about somebody that can get you 4 3-pointers and 5 possessions. Taylor McCabe's probably capable of that.
Interesting. Did you have an opportunity to read Wright Thompson's piece at ESPN.com?
Yeah, so it's probably one of the best pieces of sports journalism I've ever read.
It's absolutely amazing. I don't want to spoil it for those of you who have, those of in the audience who haven't. Trent started, but it's just phenomenal, is it not? My God, it's good.
You're going to have to set aside a half hour to read it.
You are.
I'm telling you. Hinge on every single word.
Yep.
And I think it was phenomenal the way he captured the true mindset of Caitlin and the Iowa women.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to be, just over exaggerate this. It truly reminded me of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's mindset. Yep. And the way they go about everything.
From the competitive standpoint, yeah, absolutely. The Bruise Cruise. That's what it was. Just to let their hair down, be themselves, and drink a whole bunch of wine. I mean, you wouldn't think that would be them, right? But there they are, 21 years old, just knocking them back.
Living the life, no doubt about it. Well, Iowa men, they make their way out to Salt Lake City to take on Utah. And with a win, they'll have a chance to host the quarterfinal game of the NIT against the winner of VCU and South Florida. What kind of shot do you give the Hawkeyes out there in Salt Lake?
I mean, I think they're going to have a realistic shot. I mean, what about Peyton Stanford?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you talk about a guy that is continuing to boost his NFL stock. Mm-hmm. He is playing phenomenal basketball right now. Dropped a career high 30 points. Had 17 points in the first, 7.5 minutes. It was really something special. Ben Cricky getting going as well. I think this is a group that truly does love each other. I think they're embracing this opportunity. And after all the teams that did turn down the NIT, I'm pretty thrilled for Ben Cricky and those guys that they will have their careers continue a little bit longer, because I cannot imagine being on a team that had an opportunity to be in the NIT. Mm-hmm. And my coach decided, you know what, I'm going to focus on the offseason, virtually ending my career. That is something I would probably never get over. Maybe some guys are more mature than I am, but I would have an empty feeling about that, knowing if I could have played more.
Yeah, I'm with you. Desante Bones in the transfer portal. Trent and I talked about this a little while back. We think that this probably is going to be it, right? We know that, I mean, Patrick and Perkins could come back, so they've got a decision to make. But as far as the transfer portal, I just don't see anybody, any other Hawkeye entering it. Do you?
Well, I think this is where it does get interesting, because I would not be surprised if Tony Perkins transferred after the season.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just me. That's just me saying that if he does go in there and if he wants to get paid, like Tony Perkins at this point is not an NBA caliber guard.
Right.
He could probably go overseas and make some good money. But you talk about if he goes, you know, maybe he pulls like an Isaiah Moss situation, right? And what happened to him? He went on to play at Kansas. And if Isaiah Moss was NIL eligible, he probably would have gotten paid right now. And I think that's one thing that people need to realize about Iowa's basketball NIL. Like, the Iowa right now is not in a position to compete with some of these schools. And I don't think that these players that are in Iowa system, they're not blind to that. They may love Iowa, but if you're telling me I could go get paid $300,000 to go transfer to another school, knowing I'm not going to be an NBA caliber player, I might seriously consider that. So I think that's worth noting as well. You know, Patrick McCaffrey, maybe he wants to go overseas, maybe he wants to get into coaching, but you know, what about Patrick? What if Patrick enters the portal as well, knowing, you know what, I could go to a mid-major and they might pay me a whole lot of money to start for him. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's realistic as well.
Interesting. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, part of 24/7 Sports. He joins us. I'm anxious to read that piece that you're working on for next week, the more layers to the Caden Proctor. We haven't heard the end of it. That's certain, and we'll look forward to what you find. Thank you, David. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate you guys, and stay tuned to that portal opening. That second window is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Stuff I've heard is true.
Uh-oh. Interesting. We'll clip and save that one. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. David Eicholt. Yeah, the whole portal, both football and basketball. Mm-hmm. The number of names. It's the Wild West.
There's nothing there.
No.
And guardrails can be a dirty word. It's trying to, you put guardrails up just to limit athletes, but we got to a point. There is absolutely nothing that has been done, and this is what you get.
Coaches have to re-recruit their roster after every season.
They get paid a lot. They're fine. I really don't care about that.
Yeah.
It's a job.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Trent's job is to pick winners.
Been doing well the last couple of
You have been.
Not a great start today, though.
Well, what's Michigan State? So what?
They're up 10.
They're up 10. It's been going back and forth between 8 and 10. What was the number?
1.5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Trent's plays of the day, they're next. Circus Sports sponsors. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Trent's pick of the day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. So is it a sign when the very first game of the tournament, you're on the wrong side?
No.
As I am?
No.
You are?
A couple years ago, Michigan played Colorado State. If you remember that one, that was the opener on CBS.
I don't recall.
In fact, it might have been 2 years ago when we were at the Chicken Coop.
Okay.
It might have been when that was. But recently, that was the first game of the tournament. I was on Colorado State. They absolutely got walloped.
Like Mississippi State's getting. They're getting clobbered.
And I went on and had a 7-2 day the rest of the
way. Oh, that's okay.
So, yeah. Don't worry about one. There's many more betting opportunities.
It's like losing the first half of the daily double to the first leg of a pick six and you're clubbed.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Be all right. You're going to be okay. Now, when you put it together in a parlay,
that's what I'm saying.
That's a stinger.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different one.
What are you playing going forward?
All right, we got a ton here.
Circus Sports, by the way, sponsors this segment.
South Carolina. I'm going to go with the Cox.
You are.
I am. Oregon.
A lot of folks going the other way in that game.
I know Dana Altman's great, 7-0 at Oregon in the first round of the tournament. They come in very hot. They're finally healthy, something there. I think it's the defense of South Carolina more than everything that I'm gravitating to. And Oregon's really become a public play, something I
they
like
are.
To fade.
Yep.
So I will take South Carolina. Same thing in the Washington State-Drake game. Just everybody loves Drake.
Everybody.
And because of that, I'm going the other way. I'm going to take Wazoo coming up this evening. This is one of my least favorite things to do, back Steve Alford, because he's a despicable human being.
Yeah.
But it's about my bankroll.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's going to get back to Steve, though some of the things in the past I've said about Steve got back to him. I don't think this one will. Give me Nevada minus the one against Dayton. Colorado State's a live dog. Colorado State can win multiple games. Mm-hmm. You're looking for that team out
Nico
of the first
Medved
four.
Can coach.
Colorado State, big time. 2.5, they're getting against Texas coming up here. This is one, it's a public play. I feel a lot of people around them. McNeese.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It's
think
more
Zags
of a fade against Zaga,
down.
Though. That's kind of what I come
But this
to.
Is the first year in a long time that the Zags have zero pressure because they're not supposed to go to the final.
Fair way to look at it. I just don't believe in this Gonzaga team. I'm
not very deep, are they?
No. Going to grab the 6.5 with McNeese. Give me Texas Tech against NC State. Maybe tired team NC State after that.
Preach to the choir, Trent. I'm with you on that one.
4.5 is the number there. And my last one, give me Samford. against Kansas. I've been saying it even before McCullough. I love this spot for them. I love the matchup. I love their style of play. They can shoot themselves out of it, but I think their style is going to give Kansas fits tonight.
We shall see. We shall see you on Monday. Safe trip down to Oklahoma and
back. Thank you.
Condolences to you and your family as your father's memorial service will be held. So we'll be here tomorrow. We'll fill it up with Tommy Burch is going to be one of our guests. We'll preview that Iowa State women's tilt. They play Maryland tomorrow. Murph and Annie are 5 minutes away. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 to 6 for Miller and Condon weekdays, 11 to 1. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.